Hey, good evening, everybody. Stephen Trammell here again with special guest
Todd Reynolds.
Todd Reynolds is back for your Wednesday night service. Can't get out of it again. Coronavirus has hit our nation, still in our brains. But hey, there's one thing that matters, and it's our relationship with God. And just wanted to spend some time talking with you about some things that hopefully will be relevant in what's been going on. I mean, last week we spent a lot of time thinking about why God might want to put us through this particular situation. And a week later, here we are, we're still in it.
Yeah, and you may not think it's much different. I mean, your daily life probably isn't, but certainly a big escalation in the number of cases across the country. I think last week when we talked, we were at like 8,000, and last I saw was like 64,000. So a lot of people are being impacted, and a lot of people, if they're not directly impacted like most of us, as far as having the virus or even knowing someone that has it, it's impacting our daily lives quite a bit as far as going to work, going to school, social things, social distancing. So a lot of impact in the last week.
Yeah, and one of the ways that I think the impacts are being felt now is like on the financial front. I mean,
yeah, that's right.
You got a lot of businesses that are shuttered or closed, or you know, the hours are askew. You got a lot of people that just aren't able to go to work. And for AT&T, it's really hit home for us. And one of the ways it's done it is people are out of work. I mean, they close like 70% of our stores. And so a lot of people are complaining. You know, they want paid. I mean, people want paid. And AT&T is trying to do the right thing and continue paying.
Right.
But not all businesses can do that.
Yeah, but people are definitely feeling it. And the stock market, I think Monday was under 20,000, if you keep up with the Dow Jones. And that's a huge, huge hit. I mean, like 40% down from some of the highs just 2-3 weeks ago. So that on a macro level, in addition to all the individual people being impacted with losing income, you know, just from their day-to-day jobs.
Yeah, and I mean, you got a lot of people living check to check.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of that, I remember those days, and we're not check to check today here at my house, but when you're young and you're first starting out getting married, you're check to check.
Right.
And that's just difficult for people to deal with when all of a sudden you don't have hours and you don't have a job, or you don't even know if you're going to get paid or where you're going to work, or a lot of uncertainty. And with that uncertainty comes, of course, the natural question of, well, where am I going to get money?
Right.
And we haven't had that problem lately, just countrywide. I mean, people always are going to have individual problems. I mean, Jesus said, you're going to have the poor with you always. But just on a general level, this is something that is squeezing everyone today.
Yeah, much more macro level, aggregate level, almost everyone having some amount of impact for sure.
But thankfully, you know, the Bible has an example for everything, it seems, and this situation is not new as far as poverty. It's funny, when you look at the Bible, I mean, I think even the best of times in the Bible would feel like poverty to an American today.
Yeah, definitely by American standards. I mean, the modern day land of milk and honey with all of our technological advances and the Industrial Revolution 100 years ago and where that's led now in 2020, it's unbelievable how good we have it. So best times in Bible days are probably would still be somewhat hard, but the Bible definitely gives us good examples. We're going to look at one today about some financial suffering in the Old Testament and how really that's an opportunity for God to demonstrate his care and his concern.
Yeah, and so if you got your Bibles, you want to turn to 1 Kings 17. We'll just read some text here about the prophet Elijah and an experience that he went through that you probably remember, but good for us to focus on as we think through tonight with our topic being just the financial concerns that come along with the current situation that we're all going through with the COVID-19 stuff. You know, what should our attitude be about money and our specific situation today about money? Christians could rattle off 100 verses, I think, to talk about, well, how should we act about money? Very different when you're in a situation where you're like, well, I don't know if I'm going to get paid this week.
Right. Right. Definitely an opportunity for trust and for leaning on our brothers and sisters, perhaps, in the church and in the kingdom and in Christ. But definitely potentially a real challenge.
Yeah. So, Todd, you want to read the first maybe 16 verses of 1 Kings 17?
Yeah, I can do that. 1 Kings 17, verse 1 beginning. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go away from here and turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Kerith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Kerith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. It happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he had come to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink." As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me. And afterward, you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah.
I mean, it's a familiar story, but when you think about the situation, I mean, there's some great parallels to what's going on with us today. You know, if you remember, Ahab was the king, and he was the worst king. He's the worst that has been up to this point. And it seems like to meet the worst king, God raises up the best prophet. I mean, Elijah kind of stands alone as the champion of the prophets of God. And they're going to have quite the conversations about God and what's right and what's wrong. And Elijah is just this passionate guy. And one of the first things we see just in this relationship is Elijah is bringing bad news to Israel.
Yeah, that's right.
And in verse 1, I mean, he's basically saying, well, things have been going good, but you're gonna miss out on some rain for a while. And for us, I mean, as much as it's been raining here in Atlanta the past couple months, I mean, we think this would be great, but when your whole livelihood depends on growing food,
right,
and animals that need to eat the food and or drink the water, you're basically like saying, hey, here's a pandemic that's going to affect, except it's coming from heaven.
Yeah, right, right. Famine is coming on the way. And if you think about the context here in 1 Kings 17 and God really judging the kingdom of Ahab and the people of Israel, except for, you know, Elijah and the 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal, the righteous are in an extreme minority, but the majority who are in need of God's judgment, they're going to receive it, but it's not just them by themselves, right? The righteous are going to suffer with it. So it's one of those things where God, perhaps in this judgment, motivating some to consider him, also provides an opportunity for Elijah to put his trust and faith in God, because he's going to have some suffering of his own to deal with.
Yeah, and that's really the first point I wanted to pull out. I mean, if you boil it down to this, God's people aren't immune to the circumstances of life. When we talk about finances, we talk about money. It's not like the stock market's going to hit all the evil people's stocks.
Right.
And then the good Christians' stocks are going to be fine. Or vice versa, right? The evil people are going to lose their jobs and the Christians are going to keep their jobs.
Right.
When it doesn't rain, it's not raining here for Christians either. And I think it's important for Christians to realize this, because a lot of times when bad things happen to you, you start to think, well, what has God got against me? What right. have I done? Have I not been a good person? You know, why is all this bad stuff happening to me right now? And sometimes bad things are going to happen where you could be the greatest prophet and you're going to start feeling the pain.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just a universal reality, right? So things happen. And as Jesus said in the New Testament, there's going to be times when the wheat and the chaff are just allowed to grow together, and God's going to separate them at the end. But we have an opportunity to determine which we're going to be while we're here, right? Are we going to be the wheat or are we going to be the chaff? But all subject to God's hand of circumstances that can be pretty difficult. But Elijah is kind of like, he got exactly what he asked for, right? I mean, he said, hey, it's not going to rain. And then it stopped and his food supply ran out immediately.
Right.
So it's like, whoa.
Yeah. And he's the one kind of doing this. And, you know, Ahab's going to mention later on, I think if I recall, he's going to view him as the one that's troubling Israel, but it's not him. Really, it's Ahab the whole time. Well, as you think about this particular truth that God's people aren't going to be immune to financial suffering, the reason I wanted to bring that up is because it should help us see that other people in other centuries that are more godly than me have gone through tough times.
Right, right. People probably more righteous than us have gone through significantly more difficult times, which should kind of motivate us to say, hey, we can get through this. We can get through, right, whatever comes our way. And that really is the spirit of God's people throughout the centuries. It's like, whatever comes with God, we will overcome.
Well, and I don't want to minimize what people are going through today, but I do want to minimize it. Because, like, today I went to Ingles today, and Anna said, hey, can you see if they have any cookies and cream ice cream? And we had made some milkshakes that, I mean, it was pretty good. And the kids wanted some more. So I'm like, I'm going to go in here and get some. Well, it looked like there had been a raid on most of the ice cream. So there right. was only like some weird brand, pet brand or something.
What?
And we walked out of there without ice cream. Because, I mean, I'm like, I'm not buying this trash. it was not Bluebell or Mayfield. So we haven't reached levels here in America that would even compare to this story. I mean, when you think about what Elijah is going through, God is telling him, you're going to have to just go sit by a creek and drink from a brook.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I mean, we're laughing because, like, we're ice cream snobs, right? We, like, don't have the perfect brand of ice cream. So that's what we mean, or what Stephen's referring to as far as, you know, we don't want to minimize the problems, but we kind of do. And we just want to be balanced with that. Some are going through some very serious and difficult times in our circumstances, but for some of us it's still pretty light, and for that reason, meditating on someone like Elijah, right? He's not got normal shelter, not got four walls over his head. He's being brought food by the animals. I mean, that would be like a major sanitary no-no, right? Being fed by these animals for us in our day and time. But very real for him, and quite a few orders of magnitude more difficult or harder.
Yeah, and it just helps give us perspective. I mean, when you go to a foreign country, I know you've been to Jamaica and other places, and you see what poverty looks like, it helps you see that you really don't have it as bad as you think you do. And sometimes you need to be shown that other reality to make you not feel as bad about yourself as you should.
Yeah, that's right.
God did that with Elijah later on when Elijah said, it's just me, Lord. I alone am left. Right. And he really wasn't. You know, the other people that were out there. And sometimes we need to see those other people to know our circumstance isn't as dire as we think. That Christians who, for all times, aren't immune to financial suffering.
Yeah, yeah. So there's two good points there. I mean, the main point about God's people not being immune to suffering, but also just remembering, hey, it's not as bad as many have gone through, and just help us stay focused to keep our eyes on God.
Yeah. All right. Well, second point then that we can kind of take from this text, which I think is relevant, is yes, we're not immune to financial suffering, but there still is some special care that God has for his people.
Yeah, that's right. And the text here for Elijah is like, God had the ravens bring him food. He posted his camp right there by the brook. And obviously the brook was going to dry up, but then he sent him to Zarephath. And there's this widow, which is another remarkable story of faith. We're not really diving into that. We might make a lesson or two briefly from that. But the point is God's taking care of Elijah. And he's going to have food to eat by the brook. He's going to have food to eat in the city of Zarephath. And he's going to have some companionship here with the widow and her son in this time. So, yeah, God's still taking care of his people. And that's a universal truth for us to always remember.
Yeah, it's neat to think about, because it's like God is obviously behind it not raining. But immediately after this great miracle that's occurring with his control and power over the weather, the whole story is about him taking care of Elijah. And really the bulk of what you read is the different ways and the lengths God has gone to make sure this one man is going to be taken care of.
Right, right. And a great story about her faith too, right? Because God uses this woman who didn't have a lot, hardly anything, but the New Testament tells us that she's a woman of great faith, because there were a lot of other people that God could have sent Elijah to, but here's a woman of faith who has to trust God and trust Elijah to give him her last bite of food. But it's just a beautiful story of God caring for all three of them, right? Elijah, the widow, and her son. So certainly a lesson for us that God's going to take care of us, right? The psalmist said, I have been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's people begging for bread. God takes care of his people.
Yeah, and so let's apply that then to today. I mean, you have someone who's in the church, who's a Christian, and they're concerned about, you know, their job, their employment, getting paid. I mean, those are real things that people are going through right now. Do you think this applies for them, or is it only to, you know, like a super prophet like Elijah? I mean, is God concerned about, you know, random person there sitting on the pew?
Well, I think that's why James says in James 5 that Elijah's a man with a nature like ours. And yeah, I mean, in a sense, he was a super prophet, but he was just a regular guy, you know, at the end of the day, you know, and God's love and concern. I think we mentioned it last week, but you know, if he takes care of the birds, isn't a sparrow sold for a couple of pennies? Jesus said, you know, how much more is God going to care for mankind? But certainly it's for everyone, right? Everyone that turns to God and looks to him, you know, God, that's what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 6, when he says, don't worry about your food or your clothing or what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. God's going to take care of all that.
He is. And the way he took care of it is pretty instructive too.
Yep.
I mean, when you think about what God could have done, he's not saying, look, Elijah, let's go to the brook. And here you've got, you know, this 20 pack of spam that's going to, you know, it's going to last you a while. The text says that he had the ravens bring him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. He didn't even bring him enough to last a day.
Right.
He's like, I'm going to give you for each meal just what you need.
Yeah, and that's a hard lesson for us today, right? People going to the grocery store, the grocery stores are now limiting the number of items you can purchase to 2 items. But left to ourselves, we don't want just our daily bread. We don't want what we can get by on the morning and the evening, like Elijah was dealing with. We want like 10 frozen pizzas.
Oh, yeah. And that leads me to my next point. I mean, the lesson for us, not only are Christians going to go through financial struggles, is God going to provide, But the lesson for us is we need to learn to be content with the way and the means in which God provides.
Right.
Because you might look at the same situation and think, where's God? This is miserable. I mean, we look at the story of Elijah and say, oh, look, God's taking care of him. Birds are dropping off food. But if you had just this meager amount and you literally didn't know where your next meal was going to come from, you would have a hard time thinking God was doing anything.
Right.
And yet that's exactly what Jesus prays for when he says, Father, give us this day our daily bread. We've not got accustomed to living a daily bread type lifestyle.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just hard for us to get there. I don't think anyone's even close to it. We're still lamenting we're not getting the name brand cookies and cream. But it's definitely a lesson for us to appreciate that as long as we have what we need for today, we should be totally content, right? We may have lost thousands of dollars in the stock market. We may not have whatever the name brand ice cream is or two or three things that we may wish we had. But the fundamental question is, has God taken care of us today? And I think for all of us, the answer is yes, right? We've had plenty of food to eat. We've had a warm bed to sleep in. We've had, you know, clean clothes to wear. And all of that is God taking care of us. I woke up this morning, I don't know what put it in my mind and my heart, but the song Blessed Be Your Name was just on my heart. And I listened to it a bunch of times this morning at the house. But that song really resonates with me communicating this message. It's like, what if the sky is blue and times are good? Blessed be the name of God. What if the night is dark and difficult? Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, us singing to God. But definitely a big lesson on contentment that Elijah can teach us.
Yeah, when you think about being content with what God provides, we are so far from our daily bread. You and I were talking about it earlier, just in the way people have handled this crisis. No one has said, well, I'm going to trust in God and I'm just going to go about my life as normal. People have gone to the store and just lost their minds.
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, we want to buy all of everything.
Right.
And I want to go keep it. I want to keep it at home because if I have a bunch of it, then I know I'm going to be taken care of. And God just doesn't work that way.
Right.
As a matter of fact, when God in the Old Testament started to provide manna for the children of Israel.
I was seeing that earlier today.
Yeah, I mean, God was very specific about how he was going to provide it.
Yeah.
They're going to get it each day, and they're going to have to get up, and they had to go gather it. I mean, God didn't put it in their mouth, and he didn't spoon feed them. I mean, you're going to go out, and you're going to work for it, you're going to pick it up, and you're going to take it back. And you remember exactly how much they were supposed to gather?
Just enough for that day.
Yeah, and invariably, what happened?
Yeah, people walked out with 10 frozen manna bundles.
People wanted some more. And when they wanted to keep more than they should, what did they find when they woke up the next day?
Fish food, right?
It was worms growing in it. And I think you see God's hand in that he was going to force them to see all you need to do is get through today.
Yeah, that's right.
You trust me today, and I'm going to take care of you today.
Right.
And don't worry about tomorrow.
Yeah. And there's a lot of lessons. You know, God obviously didn't intend for them to eat manna every day for 40 years. Their lack of faith led them to not enter the land of Canaan on God's timetable. But because their lack of faith, God said what? 40 years of just daily bread. And, you know, the lesson for us, I think, is be thankful that we're not in the wilderness, but remember God's desire for us to have a daily connection with him, remembering his provision.
Yeah, and let's just bring it home. If we, what we talked about last week is true, where God wants us to go through this for some reason, maybe he's growing our faith, maybe we're going through a test, maybe we need to humble ourselves and be refocused, all those things we talked about, then maybe we accept this as something that's for our good on a financial level, right? When you don't know what your future is going to hold and you don't know if all the things that you planned are going to come to fruition and you don't know about your job or your paycheck or any of that stuff, I think that's when you find dependence on God. I mean, that's when you find God.
Right.
When you pray to God, You know, you don't need to pray when you've got everything you need. I mean, that's just what happens. And God warned Israel about that. Hey, when you come into the land, I'm going to give you. And you live in homes you didn't build, and you reap from vineyards and places you didn't sow, you're going to forget me. And that's just why it's so difficult to feel dependence when you're blessed out of your mind.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, one verse that's coming to my mind as you're talking through that is in James chapter 2, where James says, "Do you not know that God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him?" And, you know, that's the reality. I mean, honestly, we're not the poor of this world, but you may feel a lot more poor, if that, I can't even say that, but you may feel like you got a whole lot less money in times like this, but those are the ones whom God has chosen to be rich in faith, right? Heirs of the kingdom. And may God help us to really have that spirit to put our faith and trust in him, particularly when there's a pinch financially.
Yeah, so let's turn our thoughts then to, you know, that disparity and what a Christian is faced with right now. There are people going through hard times, and they might not be as hard as the ones you're going through, or they may. There are some Christians that, even in financial times of hardship, are wealthy, and some Christians that are poor, even in the best of times. So what does God want for us, you think, as we're going through this and still looking at our riches and what we have, even though we may have a setback or things may be tough? What does God want for us to take while this is going on?
I mean, for me, I just go back to the text that I mentioned last week in 1 Timothy 6. Remind those who are rich in this present age not to trust in uncertain riches. But he also said, remind them to be generous in good works and ready to share. So, you know, I think my thought is that the rich should be willing to share, not trust in it. And those who are not on that end of the spectrum should be ready to receive, right? Or you know, willing to reach out or ask for help. And, you know, in an ideal world, that's just what we do. Those who are strong help those who are weak. Those who are rich help those who are poor. And all survive and thrive and press on together.
Well, you think about the world's perspective of how to solve it. And this is what it is. Well, let's just have the government bail everyone out.
Right.
Let's have the government bail out the companies, the people, and they come up with all these rules about who should get the money. I mean, some of that stuff's trickling out today. They may be cutting a check for most Americans. That's not God's solution for how Christians deal with poverty. You think about the economic hardship that the church at the Judea went through in the first century.
Right.
And they didn't say, hey, we need to petition the Roman government to go help these people. We need a check for every Jewish Christian in Judea.
Right.
Paul said, look, pony up. God has blessed you. Then first day of every week, y'all need to be laying aside so that you can bless others. This is when generosity comes to fruition.
Right.
Right, is now. And, you know, yes, God wants us to give on the first day of the week. But when you start to see a real need, that's when Christians step up and make sure everyone is taken care of.
Yes, right. And when generosity is hard, that's when you might, in some small way, I hate to even say it because we're not there, and I get that, but we might in some small way feel a little bit of the pain of the widow, right, who just had the two mites, but she gave everything she had. As I said, we're not there, most of us, but when it hurts is when it should start to feel good, right? That's when generosity really is a sacrifice. That's when we really start to fulfill Romans 12, verse 1 about present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So, yeah, that's the spirit that God calls us to. And if it hurts, then it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, and in times of financial hardship, most people turn their focus inward. We talked about the attitudes of hoarding things and buying right. all that stuff for us.
Right.
Behind that is a mentality of selfishness that says my needs are more important than the person behind me. And it's very easy to just get so self-centered in times of crisis.
Right.
It's really time for Christians to say, I need to open my eyes to the needs of others and almost be more generous than I would be in times of plenty.
Yeah.
And so I just encourage everybody, I mean, ourselves included, if you have Bluebell cookies and cream ice cream,
yes,
just give me a call.
Yes. You can deliver it to the top of Sony Mountain.
There's a great need. That's a great need.
Yeah, and all kidding aside, I mean...
I'm not kidding.
Well, maybe you are, maybe you're not. Obviously, you're not. I'll go get you some Bluebell if I can find some. But I've mentioned it in sermons before, but back to what Stephen was saying about people needing help. I mean, it's so hard for us sometimes to look past our own nose, but there's a whole world out there. People that get consumed with just their own needs and their own thoughts and their own desires and just taking care of themselves. I mean, it's not a road to happiness. It's not a road to fulfillment. There's nothing there except, you know, just some kind of miserable, sad state. But if we can look past our own nose and see that there is a whole world out there, you know, that's what Jesus did all the time. Just never consumed with himself, never concerned with his own needs, always consumed with the needs of others. And, you know, you think about what would Jesus do if he was living today in the times of the coronavirus? Well, probably not anything different than what he did in the first century, right? He'd just be walking around serving and helping and teaching and giving. And you know, may God help us to be more steady and consistent like he was and not, you know, tossed to and fro with some of the challenges or things that get people upset in this world, like the coronavirus.
And he sought out the people that most needed him.
Yeah, that's right.
And you think about the lepers and those type people. I mean, people that were shunned by the rest of society. Jesus would be out there in the middle of infected people and whoever trying to do what he could for them. Right. And I think that's that spirit you're trying to see that we impart. I mean, I just encourage when the need is the greatest, Christians rise to meet that challenge.
Right.
And so don't spend this time thinking about what's the government going to do for me and what's good for me. Think about others at this time. And that has a funny way of taking your mind off yourself. You can't do for others and give to others and be doing for yourself. I mean, you can't.
Right.
So the more time you spend being generous, that's when God sees and God rewards us. So any closing thoughts as we wrap up here tonight?
No, I think just to reiterate the points, you know, God's people are not immune to suffering, an important lesson, but God still takes care of his people during times of suffering, a great lesson.
Yeah.
And then for us to just be content with the care that he provides. Maybe it's our first choice. Maybe we don't have any ice cream. Maybe we've got some off-brand without the cookies.
Yeah.
And of course, lesson number four is to go get some Bluebell cookies and cream ice cream and bring it to the top of Sony Mountain. That lesson number four is free of charge.
That's the lesson. That's a key take-home point. No, but just appreciate it. Just keep your head on straight during these tough times, again, as I've mentioned. And these are the times when Christians show who they are to a world that's literally losing their mind.
Yeah, that's right. So stay healthy, stay safe, and blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.